Will you please bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for giving us all these blessings, this blessing of ordination, that we can do this in our church. And I thank you for the freedoms that we have, that we can come to church. And I thank you for letting your spirit be with us this day. Lord, I ask that you please bless all this money that's collected, that it would go towards your work and your support. And I thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
Call to be in recall. Good morning.
Good morning.
I welcome you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning's kind of an exciting morning for me, and a unique opportunity. I have never, I can say, been at a worship service where we had a business meeting, where we voted on the candidate that was going to be ordained. Then he was ordained, and then preached his first sermon. And that's what you're going to see today. Not that I'm pushing this, Monty and Jarrah, but Monty is my last son to enter into the priesthood. And so it will be up to the next generation of those who would come to take upon themselves that opportunity of service to you, the saints of Christ Church. And I truly enjoyed the testimony that Artis shared this morning about that hymn. Because without our mothers, without our sisters, without our wives, our ministry would be half what it could be in many instances of our lives. Now, I have in your bulletin a scripture, and I'll read it last, but I wanted to read Psalms 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear," and I'll insert, "respect or revere him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him," or respect and revere him. "And his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his commandment," or excuse me, "to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." "And now, O my son, ye are called of God to preach the word unto his people. And now, my son, go thy way, declare the word with truth and soberness, that the great plan of mercy may have claim upon them, and may God grant unto you even according to my words. Amen." And this morning, I have up here with me my son, Josiah, who will be giving the invocation, and Elder Craig Nordine, who will be giving us the charge this morning, even to his son, Monty. And then we have Caleb Postlewaite, who will be offering the benediction. And I would ask that your prayers be with them this morning for each and every part of that part that they will play in this morning's worship. And I also ask that your prayers be with Monty. He has a lot of duties ahead of him. Jarrah and he, as you know, have been attending a Mormon ward down in Jacksonville because of lack of any other place to be. And one of those things that my dad, his grandfather, pointed out this morning was that now Monty will be able to participate in that ordinance of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that Jarrah and he lack so much of, because the only time they can get it is when they come back here. And I think that's only been two times since they left last July. And so that is something that's very, very special. And so I ask again that your prayers be with them. And now we'll sing hymn 374.
Father, I thank you for this wonderful day that you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for the wonderful blessings that are present in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would send your Spirit here to rest upon us, that you would fill us, and that you'd fill my brother Monty today, Lord, as the priesthood is conferred upon him, that you would strengthen him in his work and guide and direct him in the things that he should do with it, Lord. I pray that you would be with each and every one of us, that you would guide and direct us in our lives, and that we might always seek first to build up your kingdom, and that we will show your love to all those that are around us, Lord, that we will lift them up to you for strength and for guidance. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a big day for all of us, and my family's so grateful to all of you, and we're thrilled to be here, and you're all my family anyway, for we're family in the Lord, and it's great to see people that I've known for years, and some people I don't really know all that well, But we're all here together, and praise God. My name is Craig Nordine. I'm Monty's daddy. Every once in a while, he still calls me that, and of course, I love it. You know, you never want your kids to grow up really, and yet you're so glad when they leave. Isn't that how that goes? But now, my words will be addressed to everybody, but mostly to you, my darling son. And when Dan and I first talked, we weren't sure how this service was going to be set up. And then Dan told me, well, I think I'm going to use Monty, you know, give his first sermon. But I hadn't confirmed back to him. So my notes were longer than just a charge. So maybe we will be here till it's dark again. I don't know. But we'll hope not, because my wife's given me an evil eye already. Since after this, we're having over 20 people at our house. She won't be too happy if dinner's burned. So... With that in mind, we'll all move forward. But I'd like to start from Ephesians, for the Apostle Paul gave us wonderful insights into the church, how Christ wanted his church to be, and a lot about priesthood. So this is a charge to a young man that is becoming a servant in Christ for you and for us all. And so I would like, Monty, that you would listen to this and that you would study later to review it, because you'll find that you'll need to just continue going through and through and through the scriptures, and you'll never grow bored with them. There are just gorgeous things to find. Every time you go through them, you glean something precious and special. So read this part of Ephesians again and again. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we in the unity of the faith all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So all the priesthood offices work together, edifying the body of Christ, which we all are, till we together in unity come to a fuller appreciation and knowledge of the Son of God unto perfection. But again we come this day, and I'd echo the words of Moroni as he spoke, or as he recorded his father had spoken. And I lost it again. Let's see. What are all these yellow stickies for if you can't find it anyway, right? Anyway, this is an epistle my father Mormon wrote to me, Moroni, and it was written unto me soon after my calling to the ministry. And on this wise did he write unto me, saying, my beloved son Moroni, I rejoice exceedingly that your Lord Jesus Christ hath been mindful of you and hath called you to his ministry and to his holy work. And I would add then and change the word Moroni, for Mormon's words are very eloquent, but I too, my beloved son Monty, I rejoice exceedingly that your Lord Jesus Christ hath been mindful of you and hath called you to his ministry and to his holy work. Now, Dan alluded to this a little bit when he was talking to us up here a little bit ago, at the business meeting. But Dan and Peggy and I and a bunch of you really were involved with Oak Valley Country Day School. And I think that's probably the first time you met Monty, wasn't it, Dan? Yeah, well, this was about 1991, so we're talking 20 years ago. And Dan, I'm sure you well remember this wiggly little kid that would not stay in his chair. His mother was his teacher for a couple years, and then Miss Jane was his teacher. And I kept getting the feedback that, well, Monty just will not sit still. Although, I don't know, Peggy, he liked music, so wasn't he pretty good for you overall? See, when you like it, then you're good to the teacher, right? But he was such a wiggly kid that liked soccer, recess, and make and do is what he called art. And he really enjoyed singing with Miss Peggy. So Miss Peggy was his, you know, his hero, or his heroine, or whatever, however you want to say that nicely. But he loved music and still does. And at that point in time, it being about 7 years old or so, girls were okay as long as they played soccer. And so God really blessed him because, of course, Jera is a very good soccer player. And so he could like Jera because even if she was a girl, she could play soccer. And so that was important, too. I know he was very distressed when he got older and he couldn't have recess anymore. But we're glad to see that he's lived through that. But all the other classes kind of came under a banner that Monty liked to use, and it was a phrase that we still say, of course, today. When he knew he had to go to math or reading or something, he would just say, "But it will take too long," because he wanted to be, you know, playing soccer or something. So, Monty, we're glad we all lived through that, and that you grew up, and the Lord has blessed you with a maturity that, praise God, I knew someday would have to come. But I'd like to remind you, Monty, of your heritage in Christ's church. Timothy was spoken to by the Apostle Paul. And in 2 Timothy, we find these words. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." And we'll do that shortly. But Monty, I'd like to call you to remembrance of the unfeigned faith that dwells in your grandma Patricia and your grandma Juanita and your mother Artis. And yet it goes back way farther than that, because on both the Nordine side and the Marsh side, your heritage in the restored church goes back to Nauvoo, to either the late 1830s or the early 1840s. And you are seventh generation on the one side and eighth generation on the other. So you are taking your step in your historical heritage. And we pray that you honor that heritage by your response this day. So just remember, there have been many dear ones that have gone on before you to prepare your way for this day. Now, the purpose and authority of a priesthood, I thought we should go through that a little bit. In Hebrews chapter 5, we find, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." So you have been called, as was Aaron, and this wasn't something you were looking for specifically. I'm sure you didn't call Dan and say, "Hey, Dan, you know, I'd kind of like to be ordained to one of these priesthood offices. They look pretty neat." No, he called you. But remember also then, with this authority and this calling comes responsibility. And part of that responsibility, again, was found in 2 Timothy. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So it's important that you do study out the words of God and find out exactly what he has called you to do. And I was thrilled to see that your father-in-law chose for a scripture, a welcome scripture, or call to worship, Alma 19, because I was going to remind you of chapters 17, 18, and 19 in Alma. Because Alma Jr. is speaking to his three sons and reminding them of their duty to God, for they had all been called to the priesthood. And theirs was to preach, teach, exhort, and expound to the people. And we go on to hear that they did just that. So study all the words of God that you can find, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'll give you a little advice. When I was first ordained a priest, and that was my first priesthood office, I said, gee, I really do need to study more. Where should I start? Well, the Book of Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels, so go read the Book of Mark first as a reminder, and it has many beautiful, you know, words and sayings from the Lord Jesus, and so that's a wonderful place to start. I have a couple priesthood manuals that I'll say acquired over the years, and it is interesting because they're pretty old, fortunately, that the meaning of priesthood was defined in one of them as the grace of God functioning through priesthood moves in a two-way street. It is the function of priesthood to represent God to the people and to lead the people to God. Joseph Smith III, prophet and president, said, "The powers of the priesthood are conferred for no other purpose than the salvation of man, and are continued only in the just exercise of them in the pursuit of this object." So it's not a trifling, it's not something to take lightly. You are called into the service for the salvation of man. Because if man does not accept our Lord Jesus Christ, there are dire consequences. And so you are literally saving souls from being damned. And that there is no higher calling. So remember that and go save people. The priesthood calling is essentially a commission by God and the church to act authoritatively. Priesthood office is the position within the church in which the priesthood member acts. Thus, when we speak of priesthood, we refer both to the authority to act and the appointed area of labor. There is no difference in the priesthood, though there are differences in the offices in which one is called to act. You are called to the office of priest to act and function as a priest in that office. So just quickly, I'd encourage you to go to the Doctrine and Covenants for the modern definition or listing of the duties of the priest. Both section 17 and 42 are the main ones, but there are several others that give very specific instructions for a priest. But I'd like to just summarize those quickly, and then I'll go into my ending. The duties of the priest are given in the Doctrine and Covenants and the conference rules and resolutions. The work of the priest includes these responsibilities: to preach, teach, expound, and exhort the church, to baptize by water, to administer the Lord's Supper, to solemnize and perform marriages where the laws of the land allow, to ordain other priests, teachers, and deacons, to preside over a branch when elected by the people, to travel as a missionary, and that's in section 83, and take the lead in meetings when no elder is present or when delegated that responsibility by those in charge. And the ministry to families is a basic responsibility of the priest. He is to share the duty of presenting the gospel of Christ, visiting the homes of members, encouraging them to pray vocally and in secret, and to attend to their family duties. He shares with the elder in the responsibility for expounding all things concerning the church to those who have been baptized but not yet confirmed. In all of his ministry, he may expect the direction of the Holy Spirit. And now this is one of the mysteries of God. The priest holds the keys to angelic ministry. This means that in those cases where elders are not available, and where he sees needs that are beyond his authority to provide, he may ask that God provide those ministries. He administers in outward ordinances as they are agreeable to the covenants and the commandments of God. But I would encourage you to study this and know more about it, because I think this is one of the areas that the church has not received the blessing that it could. And as a priest, it is part of your calling and your responsibility and your privilege. And there are some general things that are in our scriptures, and these are summarized here. A priest is called to live a clean life, avoiding the appearance of evil and being free from the use of tobacco, drugs, and strong drinks. He's to walk in the holiness before the Lord. He's to observe the church articles and covenants, exercising the prayer of faith. His garments are to be free of excess ornamentation and his countenance cheerful, reflecting an affirmative attitude. Monty's always had a great smile, so we want him to use it much. By the nature of his concern for the well-being of the saints and his call to preach, teach, expound, and exhort, the priest carries a concern for the corporate worship of the church. He may be called upon to take the lead in meetings. This responsibility is not to be exercised indiscriminately. The priest is not, for example, to displace another minister of any office who may have been assigned to lead the service by the presiding officer. He may speak through the voice of warning, but his preaching should be in a mildness and meekness and should clearly be the word of God to the people. So study those things. That's what you're supposed to do. It's no small task, but I guarantee you that it will be rewarding. So welcome shortly to your new responsibilities and your new blessings and your new potential for joy. Because you don't know that yet, but as a minister for Jesus Christ, it's not all just hard work. There's a payoff that comes in ways that you will be very surprised but grateful that they come. A new potential for joy. When you visit the homes of the saints and you see something change in the lives of that family, you'll rejoice with them. When you baptize a lost soul, and you know that they've come unto Christ, you will be blessed with a joy beyond measure. When you solemnize a wedding, a marriage, and you see them flourish, again, you'll rejoice. And if you see them have trouble, you'll have pain, even akin to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in a way you have begotten that family. And you'll take personal responsibility, and I hope that you will. And when you administer the Lord's Supper, look into the faces of those that you're serving. You will often find a marvelous joy in their faces, and you will share that and smile at them. Because they are your brothers and sisters, and you're so glad and joyous that you can share such a meal with them, even in remembrance of your Lord Jesus Christ. So final advice, obey God, serve God, love God, and you can do all three by loving and serving his people. And remember, charity is the pure love of Christ. And when he returns, he will call you his because you shall be like him. So God bless us all as we await his return. And God bless Monty in his call and the fulfilling and magnifying of his office as priest. Amen.